Blog Talk Radio.
To the Healing Light Show. Today is Danny Cresserella is on today. We're gonna have a great show today. He's gonna be talking about his life and about how things went in his ministry and how his ministry got started, how the Lord has actually touched his life. How you doing, Danny?
I'm good. How are you, brother?
Doing pretty good, man. We got Jacob Phillips here. How you doing, Jacob?
Doing well, Stan.
It's a great day to have this show today. We've got a few advertisements. Jacob, what do you have going on in your ministry right now? Is there anything you want to talk about that's going on or any advertisements?
Yeah, August 7th through the 9th, I will be teaching at a conference called the Army of the Lord Conference, basically about training and equipping ministers and people for the work of the ministry. The Bible says in Ephesians that apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. That's what we're going to be doing. I'll be there's going to be a day on prophecy, a day on healing, and I'll be doing Friday on healing, and then there's going to be some stuff Saturday on worship, and it's going to be awesome, and we're going to be doing that. If you would like to know what we're doing, you can go to sorministries.net, which is our website. You can find us on Facebook at Sons of Righteousness at facebook.com.
Amen. And I'd like to say anybody that wants to check out the show and see what's going on with the show, go to Healing Light Show on Facebook. And when you like that page, you'll see all the new shows coming on, all the events we have going on, and a lot of things that the Lord has actually touched, you know, me and Jacob, and actually put messages through us to give out to y'all. And anytime we get something like that, we'll actually post it. If anybody has any prayer requests, put your prayer request on that page. I've already prayed over that page a long time ago, and the Lord will start touching you. And me and Jacob will pray for you, and you will see miracles happen in your life because we know that Jesus will touch you. Anytime you say anything in Jesus' name and you mean it from your heart, God will start touching you. So just go ahead and get your prayer request on there. And we also ask you to call in for a prayer request. The guest call in is 347-996-3615. It's 347-996-3615. You call in closer to the end of the show, we'll get to you, we'll bring you up, and we'll ask you what your situation is, and we'll pray for you live on air. We will ask you after the prayer because we do expect to see a miracle happen while we're praying for you, because that, you know, that's what God says. You ask it, it will be done. And we know that's true, and we saw it happen. So, you know, just call in anytime. We'll keep you on hold. You can listen to the show while you're on hold. Enjoy the show, and right when we get close to the end of it, we'll bring you up, and we'll get praying for you and seeing some healings happen in your life and see your family transform and your body transform, praise the Lord. So we're going to get right into the interview with Danny Tranchella. And Jacob, just go ahead Danny for a very long time. You can go ahead and ask him a few questions if you wish, man.
All right, yeah, I've known Danny for, I don't know what, Danny, 10 years. I don't know, it's been a long time. I think we both lost count. Danny is the pastor of the church in Monroe, Louisiana, the church on Garrett Road. Danny, if you would, we'll start from point A. Why don't you just tell people about how you got called in the ministry, man? Tell us a little bit about what happened on that.
Well, I was living a life that was pretty rough there, and I got in a little bit of trouble over some drugs, and I spent a couple of weeks in jail, and they brought my daughter to see me, and she broke down and cried, and I knew then that I had to change my life. I knew that I had to get right with God. I was raised in the church, and I had left the church, and I rededicated my life to God. And I attended, as soon as I got out of jail, I hooked up with a Christian Motorcyclist Association, and I attended Eagle Mountain Motorcycle Rally in Fort Worth, gave myself my life to the Lord, felt called to the ministry at that time. And I had been doing ministry ever since then, and that's been going on about 23, 24 years.
That's a long time. Why don't you tell us about I've seen this video, so why don't you tell us when you got, I wouldn't say it was under a man, but tell us about your experience on that video with Kenneth Copeland.
Soon after I joined CMA, I went to the Southwest Believers Convention. And I knew I was called to preach, and Kenneth Copeland picked me out of the crowd. He was prophesying. He picked me out of the crowd, and he prophesied over me, and he told me to go out and preach the gospel. So I consider that my ordination or my sending out, and been a partner of his since then. He just spoke some awesome words into my life, and everything that he prophesied to me came to pass within a year.
That's excellent, man. Now, I know personally that you've been pastored a long time, but, you know, we're on the air, and, you know, this is going to touch a lot of people. Tell us how you got into pastoring a church, and how long that took, and what steps you took, and all that kind of stuff. Tell us how that process happened.
Okay, well, that was it was kind of just a God thing. A friend of mine was doing a home church, and he was working offshore, so he was only home every other week. So he asked me to preach the week that he wasn't home, so I started doing that at the home church. Well, after about a year, he decided that he wasn't going to do that anymore. So the people kept coming to my place, and then it just grew until we got us a building, and then we got us a church, and we've been preaching ever since. When I first got into the ministry, I was just looking for any place to preach, and I was doing youth rallies, and I approached a juvenile prison in Tallulah to see if I could preach there, and I asked to speak to the chaplain, and they said they didn't have one, and asked me if I wanted the job. So immediately I was thrust into being the chaplain of 700 inner city 17, 18, 19-year-old youth. And so that started my pastorship there, and then, like I said, we started the church from the house church, and that's what I've been doing ever since.
That's awesome. Now, how long have you actually been pastoring? How many years would you document that you've been doing that gig?
14.
14 years. Mm-hmm. Now, this show is actually on this show we actually pray for people, and you know, we base it on the power of God and all that kind of stuff, and why don't you tell us about some of the things that you've seen healed in your church since you've been pastoring? Because I know for a fact there's been a lot of things that you've seen healed yourself. So go ahead and expound on that for a few minutes.
Okay. Well, yes, we've seen a lot of miracles through this ministry. We've seen two cases of hepatitis C completely healed. We've seen terminal cancer healed. We've seen people get up out of wheelchairs. We've seen people put up their oxygen mask. It's just countless miracles. The greatest miracle of all is we've seen thousands of salvations through the places that God has led us to. And, you know, me and both know that's the ultimate healing right there.
And, amen.
But, you know, we keep a book with a record of all of the miracles of God, and that's our heritage. That's what we'll pass down. But we do so much more. We're really into prison ministry. We have the Bridge program, which helps. We work with incarcerated individuals and helping them make a plan and build systems of support for their life when they get out. We find them mentors, housing, churches, all of that stuff. We have two reentry homes. We house up to six men. We've got three right now that help these men coming out of prison. We have a returning citizens support group, second Thursday of each month, for these people to have to locate resources to help them. We also teach prison ministry. We'll come to your church and teach how to do effective prison ministry. We've been in it so long. I've been a contract chaplain for the state of Louisiana for 7 years, and I'm still active as a volunteer chaplain for the state of Louisiana in several of the correctional facilities here. We minister to the Bible community. We've held minister conferences in West Africa and Haiti. And we stay pretty busy. We love raising up ministers.
Yeah, we. On that note, that's the next thing. That's the next place I'd like to go to. I went with you on a trip to Haiti. Why don't you expound on both your Africa and your Haiti trip? I want the people out there to hear about your experience and some of the things you've seen. I know you've seen some healings out there. I know you've seen some salvations. And just expound on your trips, man, and, you know, tell them what God's done out there.
Okay, well, on my first trip to Haiti, we did a minister's conference in the very southern tip of Haiti in a town called Le Cai. And this was a little church that did not even have a roof on it. The floor was made with rocks, and people came from up in the mountains. This place filled up with people that had walked all day. And it was a big crowd, and we saw several miracles there, but one that particularly stands out, there was a lady there whose feet were completely turned inwards towards each other where she could barely walk, and she walked really, really funny. And when the healing line started, another pastor that was with me was speaking that day, and I approached the lady while he was doing his healing line and just asked her if I could pray for her feet, and I did. And later, after the service, when they left, we went to the back to greet everybody, and she walked out just as normal as me and you, Jake. She walked just like we did, and so that was an awesome thing. But we got to teach ministers from all over Haiti, and we saw several more miracles there. And then I've been back there a couple of times, and then we also preached in, and Jake has too, preached in the orphanage there in Haiti. And then I spent 10 days in Ghana, West Africa, doing another minister's conference and a radio show. And we had this is kind of funny, but we had an African king, which was a lady, heard our radio program and showed up at the church, and she was very, very sick with some kind of bacterial infection, and we prayed for her, and she was healed instantly. And
amen.
So there's just some good things going on over there. It really is.
Amen.
I know that you're I wanted to bring this out. I know that you're a member of your Ministerial Alliance, ICFM. Why don't you spill some on that and let us know about ICFM and why you decided to join and what you've seen since you've been in there.
Okay. Well, ICFM is an acronym for the International Convention of Faith Ministers, and this was a ministerial alliance that was formed 35, 40 years ago by some popular men in the time, such as Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland and Oral Roberts and Terry Mize and just a lot of guys. And the ministry itself the ministerial alliance itself has opened a lot of doors for us. We've partnered with the regional director. The guy right over me is head of the Arkansas, Louisiana, and Mississippi, and I'm the state director for Louisiana, and then my wife is the area director for this area. And this is how the doors were opened for us to go to Africa. The door was open for us to go to Haiti, and it's just an awesome support of people that just love to minister to ministers, and that's what it's about. When we go into other countries, we minister to the ministers, and that way it's more effective.
All right, man. Well, at this time, we're going to take a break and play a song, and we'll be right back.
River can be found, and like the rain, I have been carried here to where the river flows. Yeah. My heart is racing and my knees are weak as I walk to the edge. I know there is no turning back once my feet have left the ledge. And in the rush I hear a voice telling me it's time to take the leap of faith. So here I go. I'm coming.
Danny, welcome back.
Thank you.
Danny, I'd like to really touch in on your prison ministry and let people understand what some of the torment stuff these prisoners is going through and how God really touches people through these prison ministries.
Sure. You know, this is probably the closest part of the ministry to my heart. When a great man, one that led me to the back to the Lord years ago, told me that Jesus said, when you haven't visited the prisoners, you haven't visited me. And he did not say, when you haven't visited the prisoners, it's as if you haven't visited me. He said, you haven't visited me. So I feel like every church should have a prison ministry, and if you can't go yourself, then you should send others. We've seen so much revival happening in prison. We've seen, and these guys really, really need ministers in there. I've seen some, and I've seen some awful torment going on in there. At the same time, I've seen men that know the Bible inside and out and know the Word of God. I've seen miracles happen in the prisons. And we always have to remember that those guys in there are no different than we are out here. And they really need us. And they're forgotten. That's the biggest torment of all, is if you're doing a long time in prison generally, the first year you get family visits, the second year they become sporadic, and after 3 or 4 years, you don't get any visits. And that's what Jesus said. He said, go visit the prisoners. That's what they need, just for people to come in and see them. That means so much to them. And then we get to pray for them and pray with them and teach them the Word of God, and it's an awesome thing, especially when we see them come out and take their place back in the free world and become productive citizens. I got to say this: as chaplains, we study the recidivism rate, or how many people get out and go back to prison again. And it's amazing that 7 out of 10 return to prison unless they've made a decision for Christ while they were in prison and attended faith-based programs, and then the statistics reverse, and it's only 3 out of 10 of those that actually go back to prison. So no program that they have, no educational program, no life skills program that any of the prisons have can touch what God can do in there. It's an awesome thing.
Amen. Amen. I know prison ministry is very, very, very important. I know there's a lot of churches that don't, actually don't have a prison ministry. They're out touching, you know, the homeless and, you know, and going out in other countries, but they don't touch the prisons. And, you know, we really need the Lord to transform these people in prison for when they come out, that they're different people. And that's one of the main things that I think is very important too. But Jacob, you talked about Danny was pretty good at explaining the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
He's good at that. And right now, I mean, yeah, we're kind of like in the middle of the show, but Danny, why don't you go ahead and give a salvation invitation. You never know who you're touching. I mean, this is worldwide here. So if you would, give a salvation invitation. And then after that, if you'll explain the baptism of the Holy Spirit and give an invitation for those who might want to have that.
Sure, sure. One of the things I always like to point out when I'm giving an altar call is that sometimes people get confused. I usually use Romans 10:9-10, where it says that if we believe with our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we'll be saved. And I like to tear that scripture down because it gives us better understanding. Number one, when it says believe with the heart is the soul or the mind. It's not the spirit. I mean, before we're born again, we're spiritually dead, so we cannot actually believe with our spirit. And what it is it's making a choice, a mental decision that this is what I'm going to believe for the rest of my life. And see, that takes away, a lot of people think that, well, I would love to be saved if I only knew it was real, but I don't know, I can't make myself believe. And that's because they get believing and knowing mixed up. The Apostle Paul said, I know now in whom I have believed. So the first part of this salvation is simply to make a choice of the mind that this is going to be my belief system from now on. And then, of course, it says that we confess that Jesus is our Lord, and not just our Savior, but our Lord, the number one thing in our life. And if we would understand what salvation means, literally it means salvation both spiritually, in the soulish realm, in the material realm, in the physical realm, it covers all bases. And that's how big my God is. So sometimes we might be saved from eternal damnation, but when we realize that if we believe with our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord over our health, then we can receive healing. If that part of salvation, if we profess that Jesus is Lord over our relationships, then salvation works in that area. And so it's really easy. And, of course, you know, most people, when they do that, it's so easy that they think it can't be real, but that's just the devil trying to convince them that they're not saved. And God wants to make it so easy because he loves us so much that nobody will miss it. And he's not even, you know, I get perturbed sometimes with different peoples that are always talking about how God's going to keep us out of heaven on a technicality. And this is crazy. Mm. This is crazy. If you want to get down to the bare truth of it, it said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it's all about the intent of the heart. So right now I just, you know, pray that everybody in the sound of my voice that doesn't know Jesus, that doesn't know the Lord, that is not saved, will think about this and do this and just, you know, make a decision with your mind that this is going to be your belief system from now on, that you believe in Jehovah God and that you believe that he did raise Jesus from the dead and that you confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord. And I pray that you'll do that. And then the baptism in the Holy Spirit, a lot of people believe that the minute you get saved, that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is not true. As a matter of fact, Paul said in the book of Acts, had you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? So there's a receiving of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit is not in you, and I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit does not work for you, but there is a gift where we become filled to overflowing, to where the power of the Holy Spirit not only helps us in our lives, but it flows out to other people's lives. And it's really, really easy to receive. God holds nothing back from us. Everything that he has for us is freely given. The reason that we don't walk in so many things that God has for us is simply because we fail to receive. And receiving from the Lord is really easy. We do it in Jesus' name. And I asked the Lord a long time ago to fill me with your spirit. And I tried, I tarried, and people prayed on me. And some of them told me to hold on, and some of them told me to let go. And it took a long time, but in the end, I realized that it was when I received it by faith that it became real to me. And it's just as simple as saying, Father, I receive your spirit to overflowing. And when we do that, we have to believe by faith that we've received it. And I've had people ask me, well, do you have to speak in tongues to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Or if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, do you have to speak in tongues? And this is my answer to that. The Bible says that speaking in tongues is the evidence of the Holy Spirit. And I use this analogy. If I broke into your house and I waded through a bunch of mud and I stole your TV set, my mud prints would show evidence that I was there and got the TV set. But if I took my shoes off first and I snuck in and I left no evidence, it would still be true that I took your TV set. So pray for the gift of tongues, receive the gift of tongues, but just because you don't speak in tongues, do not believe for 1 minute that you have not received the Holy Spirit. Tongues is a great gift, and I want everything that God's got for me, but so many people get hung up on that. And I'm here to tell you, receive the Spirit by faith, and it'll come, and you'll see your effectiveness. You know, John G. Lake had seen thousands and thousands of healings before he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he still says that's the greatest boost to his ministry that he ever of any one thing. With the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's an awesome thing.
That's awesome. That's awesome, Danny. I really appreciate you doing that. At this time, the one thing that I've been wanting to do, that I've been waiting to do, is Danny, if there's anything that you want to promote, if you got any events coming up, if you contacts or anything like that, let the people know how they can contact the church. And the name of the church is the Church on Garrett Road in Monroe. But anyway, go ahead with that. Promote away, man. Let them know how to get a hold of y'all.
Okay. We stay so busy. We got so much stuff going on. Like I said, we have a returning citizen support group every second Thursday of the month at 6:30, where we provide food and resources and information, and we have guest speakers for people that are coming out of prison and also families, family members of those in prisons. We go to 4 different prisons weekly and monthly. And you can contact us at facebook.com/churchongarrett, and that's GARRETT. We have a web page. It's the churchongarrett.vpweb.com. And you can contact us, and we're willing to come to any churches and teach effective prison ministry to the churches that want to get started in that. Let me get a couple more contacts. Our office phone number is 318-355-1568. That's 318-355-1568. And you can contact us through email at tjtrichell, that's T-R-I-C-H-E-L-L, @gmail.com. And we'll be glad to send you out a partner letter for DT Ministries and the church. And we're just going to keep on preaching and doing what we do. That's what we're here for.
Amen. That's the thing to do. You know, when the cross has actually ordained you to do a certain ministry, just keep on with it, man, and keep on letting the Lord use you. But, Danny, we are so happy that you came on today. We have learned a lot from you about your prison ministry and all things that the Lord's using you for this day. And like I said, we're very happy that you showed up today, and we got to hear how the Lord used you, and that's what this show's all about, is showing the light of Christ to people and how other people is being used to show the light across to people, and how God is using these people, using his power through them, and touching people, and that's what it's all about. And you know, I like that to tell everybody, you know, always keep your mind open, listening to the Lord. We was talking about that at a meeting last night, is, you know, some people are so busy talking and they're not listening. We need to listen to the Lord. We need to get in Scripture. We need to keep our minds open and have one ear open. Keep our mouths zipped and keep one ear open to listen to the Lord, what He has for us to do. A lot of us get stuck in a ministry, and the Lord is trying to push us ahead to other ministries. And a lot of times we get stuck in that same old. And I know there's some people, like, you know, I've known a lot of people that's been doing the same stuff. And actually in my hometown, and the Lord pushes them, and sometimes it's too hard for them to move. But that's when it really cuts down, you know, to just listen to the Lord, and he will guide you to the next step. You know, it's kind of like Danny here. He's moved him all over to many different ministries. It wasn't just a prison ministry. It's, you know, doing many other different ministries. And that's what he could do with you too. Just listen. Maybe he'll put you in a prison ministry. Maybe he'll take you on a crusade. Maybe he'll take you to the hospital down the road to pray for a few people. I mean, it don't have to be tremendous. It could be small. A lot of times it starts out small. Pray for your family. Pray for that one uncle that really has never found the Lord. You know, just go and talk to him. You know, maybe that lady that sits on the front row of the church, and nobody really prays for her. They just leave her there. Just go up there and say hello and say, you know, the Lord loves you, you know. You need prayer, you know, something that simple. And then God sees you doing that, and he will step from there and go, you know, go many different ways with you. But there has to be a starting point somewhere. Has to be a starting point somewhere. A lot of us is too scared to jump on that starting point. And just start out small. Like I said, start with your family. Start with the guy at the bus stop. Start, you know, just start somewhere. And the Lord will see that, and he will start using you in many different things. And, I mean, I've noticed a lot of people say, well, you know, I pray for people, not a whole lot of happens, and, you know, some things happen. But you only maybe pray for one person every 2 years. And if you're not in a whole tremendous amount of use, you know, you're only given for what you're doing, you know. And when you start, you know, adding more prayers, praying for more people, talking to more people, the Lord will start gushing that to you. But it's just up to you getting out of that fear and trying to get there and do more things. And that's where you really see the power start stirring in you. When you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, he's giving you a baptism. He's doing all of that for you. You've got to use it, and that's one of the main things. At this time, I like anybody that's got a sickness, got an ailment, just put your hand. I don't know whether it's a stomach ache. It could be a knee ache. It could be your foot. Just put your hand there now. Just place your hand on that ailment right now. I'll give you a little bit of time here. Okay. In Jesus' name, I command all sickness. I command the spirit of infirmity to leave now in Jesus' name. I command that spirit of pain to leave that stomach. I command that ulcer to die. I curse it and bind it, and I command that ulcer to die off the intestines. I command that migraine to leave in Jesus' name. I curse the spirit of migraine. I bind it, and I command it to leave in Jesus' name. I command arthritis to die in Jesus' name. I bind you, I curse you, arthritis, and I command you to die and leave and fall off of that person now. I command ears to be open. I command eyes to be open. Flu symptoms to leave now in Jesus' name. I curse that spirit of infirmity. I command it to leave. I bind it, I curse it, and I command it to leave now. You have no authority there. You leave now in Jesus' name. You break loose now. You break loose from the lungs. You break loose from the throat. You break loose from the nose. You break loose now in Jesus' holy name. Holy Spirit, I ask you to go through these people. I ask you to open these sinuses up. Open these lungs up. Open these throats up. Release them from their pain now in Jesus' holy name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father God, in Jesus' name, I ask you to bring your Holy Spirit upon them now. Bring your Holy Spirit upon them now in Jesus' holy name. Bring it upon them now in Jesus' holy name. Fill them up fully in Jesus' name. Fill them up fully in Jesus' name. Thank you, wonderful Father. We love you. We adore you. We thank you for sending your Son to us. We thank you for sending your Son to us. We thank you for what you've given us. We thank you for putting a roof over our head. We thank you for putting food on our tables. We thank you for the car, for transportation. We thank you for our families. We thank you for our kids. We thank you for everything that you've given us. We thank you for everything, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you for these healings, these transformations you're doing today. We thank you for Danny. We thank you for Jacob. We thank you for everybody. Ministry Gift, we thank you for all of this. Ask us in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen.
If anybody's had a healing today from this prayer, we ask you just to put a testimony on the Healing Light Show page on Facebook. Just put a testimony there. It helps people to see what the Lord's doing through this show, what the Lord is doing, period, through people like us or anybody that's willing to be used. And what this is going to do, it's going to burst people's faith. People really need their faith, you know, lifted. And when their faith is lifted, the Lord can work more through them and do more things and then move that spirit of doubt out of them. So just, you know, if you got a testimony, you know, the Lord's touched you, you know, you've received the Lord, just put a testimony on the Healing Light page on Facebook. And Danny, thanks again for coming on the show. Maybe we could have you on again sometime.
I'd love to.
Yeah, we really enjoyed you talking about your ministries, and I'm sure a lot of people learn a lot about the prison ministry, and maybe this encouraged a few more people to go out to the prisons and do a few things.
We hope so. Let me say this before we get off here, too, about healing, because
okay.
I know this is really close to Jake's heart and mine, too. People think that they have to be some kind of great minister in order to lay hands on people and get them healed. And this is what I tell people, because I like to fish a lot. And I say, the one that catches the most fish is not the one with the most skill. The one that catches the most fish is the one that puts his foot in the water the most. So even if you feel like you don't see a lot of results, keep laying hands on people and keep praying for them, because the more you do that, the more people will receive their healing.
Amen.
Amen. I was going to mention that, but I think Danny mentioned it. Does two great minds think alike? I was going to say that earlier.
It's kind of like a water hose. If you're only using a water hose just a little bit, you only need a little bit of water. But if you're using the water hose quite a bit, you need quite a bit of water. And the more you're out there putting your hands on these people and you're praying for these people, the more the water hose is turned up.
Amen.
And it's a lot of things. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, my prayers is kind of weak, but I only pray for, like I said, one person every 2 months. And it's because the water hose ain't really turned on much for you, because you ain't really being used a whole lot. But
that's right.
When you're out here, when you're praying for many different people a day, I got a friend of mine, he prays for 20 people a day just out in the street. I mean, he's just a prayer guy all the time. And the Lord uses him multiple times. He sees, you know, all types of miracles going on. And that's because he's being used constantly. And that's one thing, you know, it's not only for these special people can do it, it's for anybody can do it.
That's right.
We're called as Christians to do this, to show the power of God, to show Jesus. We're supposed to be walking in Jesus' shoes. How can we walk in Jesus' shoes when we're scared to step out of our door, of our house?
Yeah.
I mean, ain't much you can do there. But, that's the one thing, you know, this show's always been about, is try to get people out of their comfort zone, you know. And that's one of the biggest things. But, Danny, it looked like God got you out of your comfort zone a long time ago, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'd rather be hunting fishing, brother.
Yeah. I love fishing, too, myself, man. And I hit the lake every so often. But it's great to have you on today. And like I said, we'll have you on again, Danny.
Thank you so much, man. I appreciate it. And you too, Jake.
All right. Good. This has been good.
You have
a good thing. One of the things I want to do real quick before we get off the air is, Danny, I want you to plug your stuff one more time for the people.
Say that again, Jake.
Plug y'all stuff one more time for the people.
Okay. Okay. You can contact us at area code 318-355-1568. Our address is 1945 Garrett Road, Monroe, Louisiana, 71202. Our email is tjtrischel@gmail.com. And our Facebook is Church on Garrett. You can also Facebook me at Danny Trischel Ministries. Like I said, we'll be glad to talk to you about prison ministry. We'll be glad to get one of our partner letters out to you, and so you can keep up with what we're doing. And I just want to tell you guys how much I appreciate y'all having me on your program.
Amen. And you know, may God bless your ministry and really bring you know multiple people come to your church and really bless you. I really put that blessing upon you and your ministry and your church. And like I said, we will have you on here again. And God bless all of y'all that's listening today. I ask for God to touch each and every one of y'all. I don't know whether it's you're listening to this on podcast, in the library, or you're listening to it live. And I really wish God to touch every one of y'all. And like I said again, you know, if you've been touched by God by our prayers here today or by the ministry that we're talking about, you know, just leave us a testimony how the Lord's touched you. And we'll see y'all next week, Wednesday night service. We have around 8 o'clock, And God bless every one of y'all.
He's awakening the hope in me by calling for my destiny. He's breathing life into my soul. I will thirst for him and him alone. He has come like the showers on the barren plains. So my heart, tongue confess, Jesus Christ, the hope of man. My hope.